Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
But you also had people that were very fine people.
Very fine people on both sides.
And the aliens would mind meld and give them the technology. They're bad aliens.
So
are you surprised the Nazis were influenced by demons?
No, if demons are real, I would definitely think they'd be on the side of the Nazis.
Yeah.
McDonald's is connected to the Clintons. They chop up the bodies and put them into the sausage and hamburgers. People are being cannibalized. Look it up.
And I'm watching CNN talk about this as violent white nationalist protests. We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful, you know?
It's Pepe's become kind of a symbol.
Welcome to Yeah Nah Passeran, a show about fascism and its gravediggers. I'm Cam Smith.
I'm Andy Fleming.
And this week we are joined by, he's a man with many hats, content creator, influencer, thinkfluencer. It's Tom Tanaki.
Thinkfluencer, thank you. Guest on the podcast yet again being tapped for my unpaid knowledge, my influence, my thinkfluence, yet again. When will I be paid? When?
Well, checks in the post.
Yeah, you can have a cut.
I speak too soon. I shouldn't have assumed.
Tom, you've recently... Where should we begin? There's been a lot going on. You've recently resigned from your position as a weekly contributor to Independent Australia. I thought this might be worth discussing because we've discussed a lot of these issues on the show over the past 6 years, the rise of QAnon and such. Why did you feel that you had to throw in the towel at Independent Australia?
Yeah, thanks for asking me on to chat about it. I'm glad to, because I think it is important subject matter for those of us who've looked at those matters of QAnon dating back to its inception, and I've had conversations with you both about these matters for many years now. And it's sad for me to say goodbye to Independent Australia. I wrote for them for 5.5 years. I was just estimating a little earlier, I reckon a couple of 100,000 words. That's a lot of blood, sweat and tears. And I'm proud of the work that I did. I'm proud of the platform that I had and that I developed there in writing. And I'm proud of my body of work there. I really am. I hope that it will serve as a time capsule of like early 2020s lockdown era anti-fascist thought from one perspective anyways. And aside from yourselves and me, there are others, but there aren't too many others, certainly not in Australia, doing furthering those kinds of perspectives. I'm proud of it all, and I'm sad to see it go, but I had to because I resigned. And I resigned over the subject matter I resigned due to seeing another article be published on Independent Australia by one Fiona Barnett, who, you know, people who are familiar with conspiracist figures, conspiracist talk in Australia, particularly QAnon or satanic pedophile conspiracy theories related talk, will probably be familiar with that name. But if not, she's an infamous old Australian conspiracist warhorse, I would describe her as, a mid-2010s and thereafter peddler of satanic pedophile cabal narratives, particularly concerning naming high-profile Australian politicians and celebrities and international ones too. And she had a habit of creating progressively lurid, more lurid tales of being abused by these people. It was always things that she herself had witnessed in Parliament House in Canberra or at Bohemian Grove and that kind of thing. Now, she's been doing that publicly and with a bit of a profile attached to her name ever since 2015, coinciding with the Royal Commission into institutional responses to child abuse. And I knew throughout my 5.5 years at Independent Australia that she had, in fact, part of her origin story was writing for that same outlet. I always knew that. She wrote for Independent Australia quite a few articles throughout the period of 2013 through to 2015. She started out publishing works on more real-world examples of child abuse. That was her area of interest, clearly. If you have a look at those articles that she was submitting to Independent Australia to be published, but was real or accused actual pedophiles that she was covering, mostly in Australia. But there were broader tales of the like that I was just talking about earlier being spliced in there too, and that started to get a bit lurid as time went by. And as we approached 2015 with the Royal Commission's final report, that's when she took full flight in this respect and started revealing her tales of abuse at the hands of politicians. And she was the subject of a lot of mainstream media scrutiny thereafter, and she was the subject of a media watch. Oh, I was going to say hit piece. That sounds a bit pejorative, doesn't it? It sounds like a, you know, I agree with said hit piece, but basically a media watch piece disputing her claims. And she received support from Independent Australia at that time. If you go onto old Independent Australia articles, you can find Dave Donovan, the bloke who runs Independent Australia, running to her defence and saying Media Watch gave her no time to respond. These people are attacking an abuse victim and so on and so forth. And what I will say in response to that is that 2015, what I used to say in response to that was that 2015 was a different time and that Fiona hadn't had time to fully flesh out how lurid her tales were going to become. She hadn't gone beyond saying what she reckoned Paul Keating had done to her. She hadn't had time to really get into the guts of it, so to speak. But after that, she did. And she became, as I said earlier, gradually a figure of international conspiracist renown. So the difference between 2015 and now is that we've got years of like a documentary that she published. We've got videos of her at conspiracist conferences telling big stories about the stuff that happened to her. And I won't say those stories on the air because I don't think that you can broadcast it, but they're pretty gory. Frankly, they're pretty silly. They concern big celebs from a certain time period and big politicians doing really trauma movie type stuff, really gory stuff with samurai swords and decapitated heads, all that kind of stuff that really tends beyond. We're not talking Epstein stuff here. We're talking about the lunatic tip-offs that you can find in the Epstein files. We've well and truly left the world of real abuse when we hear these stories. And that's what we've been able to hear from Fiona. Now, I was brought on in 2021 when I was in full flight looking at the anti-lockdown movement and conspiracy. And I was brought on to tackle that subject matter. And I did. I did for 5.5 years, as I said, a long time. And some of the stuff that I covered, I covered those that I described as pedophile fantasists, such as Fiona Barnett. And I remember having a conversation with one of the sub-editors at the time who called me when I submitted that article to them to talk about that subject matter. And they were like, you know that we hosted some Fiona Barnett work. And I said, yes, I am aware of that. I said, when I try to be charitable to say that it was a different time, like I said before, those caveats. And I had that work published, you know what I mean, in which I looked at that work and I said then the same thing that I say now. I'm sure, I strongly suspect that someone such as Fiona probably was, having listened to her, the victim of some kind of abuse, as so many people are in this country, when so many people have those stories to tell about real world abuse, even at the hands of institutions. What was the Royal Commission for? We know this. Or setting aside institutions such as the church, which we all know, the bulk of people, the majority of people whose abuse stories is about someone in the home or someone known to the family. It's really heavy subject matter. And so I've always made it very clear, and I did so in the page, in the column space of Independent Australia, that I am not saying that Fiona Barnett didn't get abused by anyone. I suspect she did. And I suspect she has a really heavy story to tell. The only thing is, I don't think it involved Paul Keating or samurai swords or decapitated heads. And that's where the pedophile fantasist label and stuff comes from. And I met Anna and I was grateful to be given the space to tackle that hefty subject matter in there, because I didn't just tackle the ha-ha look at conspiracy stuff. I was never trying to simply sneer at these kooky cookers. That was never my intention. Of course, there's a lot to laugh at in the world of the conspiracy, and we all agree on that. There's a lot of funny things and people and silly stuff that you come across. You'd be a liar if you said you never had things that you just found surprising, interesting, even funny. But you must temper that with looking into the guts of some of the heavier stuff that goes on. If you really want to take people seriously, find out what's going on. And for me, looking at the anti-lockdown movement, I knew there was an element, there was a thread within the movement of, as I say, pedophile fantasy. And I tried to tackle that hefty subject matter. So I was very grateful to do that there. So to get to cut to the chase, the reason that I don't write for Independent Australia anymore was because last week they published another Fiona Barnett article in 2026. And she's getting right back to the subject matter. She's had 5 years off on hiatus. And now, after the Epstein files and after a notable political spectrum wide, left and right, bipartisan thrust towards conspiracist talk, in my view, to say that the world is more, in bipartisan way, more QAnon than it ever was before. After all that, Fiona's back to collect her flowers. She sees that the world has proven her right, and now she's back to have another tilt after her failed 2015 one at building a profile. And shockingly to me, Independent Australia, even after all the tales of samurai swords and such, are willing to let her rebuild that platform. And I was stunned. And comrades of mine suggested that I should just pack my bags and run for the clappers. But I didn't want to. I wanted to actually try and not protect my platform, but to temper that voice with a dispute. After all, I had the opportunity to talk about Fiona in years previous on that site. Why couldn't I do so again? I didn't know what I'd do after that, but I knew that it wouldn't be possible for me to continue writing there given my subject matter expertise, given my wheelhouse, given the things that I look at. It would not be possible for me to continue to write there at all unless I responded to that. So I submitted a response. And I thought it was very measured. I wasn't there to rag on Independent Australia. I was simply there to make the case for why it's inappropriate to even platform Fiona Barnett in these circumstances. So I made that case. I submitted it and they rejected it. So they hosted Fiona Barnett's words coming through to relitigate her positions about Bohemian Grove and satanic pedophile cabals among the political and celebrity elite of Australia and the world. They would publish that, but they won't publish a reply from someone such as me. It made me question, what on earth was I there for? I suspect I was there because a bunch of libs had asked me to come on to sneer at the cookers. And this is the way the frustration I've always had, really, and in the way that I've always tried to approach the conspiracist fringe versus the way that a lot of the perhaps liberal centre-lefty audience that are adjacent to what folk like us do. And they might dip in and collect some things to sneer at every now and then. I think that they all wanted to sneer at cookers as well. But I think in a slightly more QAnon world, they didn't really understand what the problem all that was now. And the issue that we come into now is that now in 2026, there's a lot of people who perhaps think that kind of thing might be true after all, because what they think they know about the Epstein files. You know what I mean? So I quit my space in Independent Australia and I published all that stuff. I published my last article on my Patreon instead, and now I just have to forge out on my own and not write for them anymore. I don't enjoy making principled stand like this to paint myself into a corner where no one listens to me, but I couldn't write for them anymore under those circumstances.
Tom, I think the Fiona's Comeback article has a bit of an I told you so theme to it. And in fairness to her, there are a couple of things that she points out that do vindicate her position somewhat, not the samurai sword stuff, but she notes the Prime Minister of Australia apologised to victims of ritual abuse in the apology that was made to Parliament. She says that was because of her influence. Now, from what we know about Scott Morrison and his connections to QAnon influencers like Tim Stewart, that's probably actually true, that Fiona Barnett influenced the Prime Minister of Australia to make an apology for this fictitious stuff that she's talking about. She also points to the fact that in the Epstein files, there's scads of documents which completely match up with all of the most lurid things she's saying, because this is the bit she leaves out. The Epstein files are full of tip-offs that were made to the FBI that are based literally on her work. There's all of these. Every QAnon tip and every tip about Richie Bernard and Pluck a Duck that went to the FBI ended up in the Epstein files, precisely because the US government had a problem where there'd been a lot of chook feeding going on with QAnon. And then it's when you run out of chook feed, the chooks start pecking at you and you need to release something more. So they were pushed into a corner of releasing the Epstein files. And so they flooded the zone with all of these crazy tips, which just happened to be literally her story. And so the fact that stuff's in there doesn't mean anything. But I can see
all it does is it points to her influence. And she is, I've had a lot of people going to me suddenly, I wasn't sure I knew who Fiona Barnett was, because people have got short memories. I think 2015 was a time at which conspiracists were generally disregarded to a much greater degree than they might be now. Now we know that a conspiracist can, you know, they can end up in the administration of the most powerful government in the world. They can change the world. We know that. But back then, we were more inclined to sneer and set and forget. Fiona Barnett is and was a big dog. You're talking about what Scott Morrison said, and Scott Morrison was friends with someone called Tim Stewart, who was a peer to Fiona Barnett. He's a cool guy, and he was a friend of Fiona Barnett. And Scott Morrison had that in his circles, and he would have said something about ritual abuse because he was only one degree of separation away from Fiona Barnett, whether he knew it or not. Those tip-offs refer to Fiona Barnett because Fiona Barnett is an individually prominent influence upon QAnon. QAnon wouldn't exist in exactly the shape it did without our Fiona Barnett. So Australian listeners should be proud. We helped. We gave the world an important element of QAnon. We actually did. Now, I'm not saying that satanic, pedophile, cabal conspiracies didn't exist before Fiona, of course not. But the exact presence that they had was shaped by a scene that she was one of the big dogs in. And so, as you say, Fiona influences QAnon. QAnon influences all the people who are cooked who then go and give rubbish tip-offs to the FBI. Trump administration floods the zone by releasing all those in the files. And so Fiona looks at it and she goes, oh, it's looking a little bit like what I said. Yes, of course, Fiona, it is what you said, reflected back at you.
When you wrote your piece a few years ago about this stuff, one of the points that you made, which I think is, if anyone's vindicated, you said to understand all of this stuff fully, you need to have a lot of prerequisite knowledge. You need to understand about Gamergate and about 4chan culture. And there's a big laundry list of things that you need to understand if you want to actually understand what's going on. And if you just point at the cookers and say, oh, these idiots, you maybe are not furthering your understanding enough to the point where, fast forward to now, I think that you are right that there is a lot of people who were saying, look at the cookers, who did not precede their understanding. And so now when they see these things, they're like, it's in the Epstein files. They're very easily taken in by stuff that they would have been ha-ha-haring at.
Yeah. And I recognise a lot of those people because a lot of them are left now. And a lot of them were locally in my audience back then. And they might have just been sneering. I always had that issue. I always felt like I had this runaway issue I couldn't quite put my finger down on, which was like, no matter how frequently I talked about, I don't have a Svengali-type hold on the exact feelings of all of my audience. I recognise this, and maybe this is a bit of martyr complex, but I hoped for people to walk away with a more three-dimensional, fully-fleshed land view of the paranoid-type method of thinking or the conspiracist worldview in the right circumstances. And as you say, I always tried to make the point, don't you sit there sneering at these people, because unless you can tell me why you aren't into QAnon, I don't think you're really inoculated against that. And as we say, nowadays we say that the world is very QAnon. So there's a lot of left people who I think would have been in my audience laughing at how silly these people were a few years ago, for example, and now they believe a lot of it. They don't understand that the reason that the Epstein files have stuff about satanic pedophile conspiracies and eating children and stuff like that in there is because, it's a bunch of useless tip-offs. They haven't spent any time on that. The only reason that they're getting any of this information is because cooked influencers are conveying it to them. They're not doing any of that work themselves to look into those files. They're only just like everyone's in their little digital armies these days, like the QAnon digital soldiers of the days of yore, just getting things in viral videos from influencers who sit in their silo and such. But I wish that we could have inoculated these people, but they weren't there for it. They were only there to sneer. Independent Australia brought me on, whether I like it or not, to do the sneering that I didn't necessarily want to do. And now they're helping to platform Fiona Barnett because they think it's time to get back to all that. And it's a real shame. When I look at a lot of the anti-Zionist space, but I don't know. Let's say the broader pro-Palestinian space, I see so much proximity to what I recognise as anti-Semitic talk. I don't mean to say that the pro-Palestinian movement is anti-Semitic. You haven't brought Gillian Seagull on as your guest. I'm saying that I see people regularly, and there's a lot of the people who weren't around pre-October the 7th, 2023, to bother to collect their own understanding on what actual principled anti-Zionism is. So to even bother to understand what the point of any of that was. And they parlay in Jewish power conspiracies. And indeed, they know that some of us tired old lefties hector them about these things, but they think, no, what's the point? Why are you on about that? There's been too much death and destruction in Palestine. This mission is too urgent now. Why should we have to worry about coddling the feelings of the Jews? And I see the sentiments of anti-Semites gain further and further traction. And it's a conjoining of traditionally left and right strains of conspiracists that I recognise happening in that world as well. I think who are the influencers and such who've stood to benefit most from that? It has been anti-Semitic influences like Candace Owens, Dan Bilzerian and such. I see that they're almost regarded as charmingly misguided, but they'll come around. They're coming around. Oh, look, they're doing the job for the kids of Gaza at the end of the day. Actually, they're doing the job for their digital armies. But their digital armies are our digital armies in the age of bipartisan QAnon, aren't they? Because we all just abandon any notion of principles, don't we? And we just tap into conspiracist thought. So it's a very bipartisan QAnon world now, and I'm just trying to tread water in it, Cam and Andy, trying to find my way in it. It's a strange new world we live in.
We have a Royal Commission at the moment into anti-Semitism and social cohesion. Do you think that might advance our understanding of these matters?
It's great, isn't it? It's going so well. It's Gillian's doing her best to help advance our understanding of what we should ban next. You know what I reckon? I reckon we're about 7 or 8 bans away from finally achieving social cohesion. I reckon if we ban a small handful of further, I reckon we've got about maybe 4 or 5 more slogan bans, a couple of group bans, and maybe 1 or 2 more symbols, and I think we'll all get on board and we'll finally stop rabble-rousing in aid of our anti-Semitic politics, all of us. We'll all just get together and we'll finally stop all of this nonsense. I think we'll do that. Of course, anyone with a bit of reading on conspiracy will tell you that a healthy distrust of authorities is born from is fueled by government policy and that kind of thing, and the more disenfranchised people feel from governments, the more likely they are. So historically, it's been populations who've been the victim of further government prejudice, such as minorities and such, and the disenfranchised have been more prone to conspiracy among and a lot of that distrust is healthy. That's happening to a broader chunk of the population than ever, given that these governments have just done this full throttle tilt towards banning everything in order to please the pro-Israel lobby. Of course, that would be great for me as an anti-Zionist. I'd think, let's all join the club. But what I seem to see happening is not that. Everyone seems to be joining the Dan Bilzerian, Candace Owens club, because there's no principle among this lot. It's all conspiracist thought. It's like, let's just post juice box emojis for the Jews. What's that point? What does it matter? What does any of it matter? No, we've got the children of Gaza to save. And in this haste to abandon any kind of principle, we are opening the floodgates to power conspiracies. And who's going to win out in the world of Jewish power conspiracy? Surely it's the anti-Semites, the original peddlers of it. So they are winning. They are winning. And a moment that I thought that the neo-Nazis and such couldn't possibly capitalise on, in the end, they've collected a lot more interest. And I have noticed, even though we have a vanishingly small Jewish population in Australia, rank anti-Semitism is absolutely rife amongst populations of people who've been exposed to a lot of conspiracist and right-wing media and increasingly left as well. It's very normalised now. And what a shame that we've arrived in this this place, hey?
Maybe that can be the monoculture of bipartisan conspiracism.
Yeah, and that's what we want, isn't it? We want the monoculture. We want the monoculture to be a law banning everything, one big law, and then blow up. We just believe absolutely. We quietly, and when I say quietly, I mean we all have our like 20 archipelago of social media pages online and we just fountain it out all the time. We just constantly spout conspiracies down here. And law, the big mono law exists as a big umbrella above. It's all banned, but we believe it all. And that's the new culture that we're heading towards. That's the monoculture.
Tom, you published a video recently in which you examined the ways in which political actors, the NSN, One Nation and so on, capitalise upon the same event and attempt to use that raw meat to feed their audiences. How do you understand, I know you've spoken on this, but in terms of the NSN, the more determinedly anti-Semitic elements on the far right and those which seemingly disavow or could even be described as philo-Semitic in the One Nation Party, how do you see those struggles going on in the online spaces that you occupy?
Look, the NSN media agitators, they're Rockwellian activists. And it just so happens that they do. When I say really all listeners more than anyone would be aware that I'm referring to George Lincoln Rockwell, the American Nazi Party guy of post-World War II period and the guy who really invented the playbook of media stunts to rally people to your cause. They do his playbook and they do it in 2026 in the pitch-perfect time to do it. In fact, if Rockwell himself was alive today, he'd have an absolute field day. But instead we have these lepers and they're doing just fine. They're doing great because they're doing it in exactly the right time. The omni-attention economy is exactly the right space in which to do it. And they have this relationship with the One Nation people in which they create the stunt work, essentially parasitizing the subject matter that's started by the more powerful elements of the far right, whether it be Jenna Reinhardt or Advance Australia, One Nation, stuff about the welcome to country, for example. And as I said in some of that work that you would have listened to, that you were referring to before, the NSN don't particularly care about welcome to country. That's not their interest. They're not interested in these little individual matters. They only view it as like a subject matter that the boomer right are already interested in. Let's make a stunt out of that because that would be more likely to hit front pages. And, of course, they've perfected that formula. And so that's their relationship with each other, really, isn't it? The NSN do conduct the stunts and the One Nation people will get to occupy the moral high ground in that shifting further right of the Overton window. For example, they get to point at the neo-Nazis who've done the stunts that the NSN do and say, we're not them. In reality, they're not really very different from them. They are tactful. They're more tactful with their language. Lefty such as myself will tell you that when they say the monoculture, they're really just talking about white culture. That's what they mean. Whether or not I dispute the merit of the notion of a white culture or what the hell that means, that's what they're talking about. But this is getting to their relationship. And I think what interests me about their relationship with each other is that if the High Court challenge posed by Sewell to have white Australia escape the prescription and to become a full-fledged political party, if that escapes the next time, and if they get to register the White Australia Party as an actual party, the monoculture discussion is really, the only reason it's faulted for One Nation is because they can't finish the discussion because they're not able to say the White Australia thing. But the White Australia Party will be able to finish the discussion. They'll be able to come out now and say, well, Lynn can't say what she's talking about. She doesn't quite know what she's talking about or she's too scared to say it. We're going to say it. We want a white Australian culture. And so everything that One Nation have done will siphon through to benefit for White Australia, which I'm not looking forward to.
Tom, we are out of time, so we will have to leave it there. If people want to find more of your work, they can get you on YouTube and Patreon. Thanks for coming on. And Andy, that is our show, but we will be back next week.
Fingers crossed. We'll see you then. Bye.
Keffiyehs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white keffiyeh to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to keffiyehs.org.au That's KUFIYAS.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Rainbow United is a self-advocacy group that is run by and for LGBTQIA+ adults with intellectual disabilities and acquired brain injuries in Victoria. We get together online to fight for our rights, be in community, and support each other. We meet fortnightly on Zoom. Reach out to us by email at hello@rainbowunited.org.au or go to our website rainbowunited.org.au. You're welcome in our Rainbow family, a 3CR supporter.